Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now the date has been set, the pot of money or fiscal envelope as it's called has been decided, and so far we haven't heard too many rogue voices from government backbenches making demands on that cash. Budget 2026 is going to be unveiled on October 7th, but as inflation continues to pinch, should we expect universal packages, or will the warnings be heeded from government, or will government heed the warnings that the economic headwinds could lead to a fiscal wobble? Well, Cliff Taylor of the Irish Times joins me on the line now. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Colin.
The budget's going to be a bit earlier than usual. The figures at the moment are 9.4 billion overall, made up of 7.9 billion in extra spending and 1.5 billion in tax measures. We're being primed for a tough package, I suppose, is one way of looking at it, but it's still a pretty healthy budget.
Yeah, I think some people have been referring, using phrases such as an austerity budget and so on, but I think on any count, a budget of over 9 billion, you know, is anything but. I was just looking back at the 2019 budget, which I suppose was the last quote normal one that we saw before COVID and cost of living crisis and so on, and that was 3.4 billion. Those days we were used to much more modest, more modest budgets, I guess. So there is going to be 9.4 billion in this budget, the bulk of it allocated to extra spending. But nonetheless, as you said, I think this is going to be a tough one for the government politically. People have got used to the cost of living packages every year, and that is going to be a big issue for them. And while 9.4 is a big figure, I think on the spending side, we'll see a lot of that money eaten up by just spending pressures in different departments rather than kind of normal budget day fare, welfare packages and so on.
Right. The money is the corporation tax money continues to roll in. So Is it tricky for the government, as you say, to go over and above maintaining existing levels of service?
I think that the difficulty for the government is just that, Colin. When we get to budget day, we'll know that the corporation tax take for this year is very likely to come in well ahead of schedule again. The government has not been short of warning us about the economic risks the country is facing, and of course they're right in many respects. But nonetheless, for now, the money keeps rolling in, and I think that is what is going to lead to the political pressure on budget day. And while Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers, the budget ministers, have gone out of their way, I suppose, to try and say, look, we're going back to more normal budget times this year, I think we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen over September as the final decisions are made. And I still think there is going to be a political push from some parts of the government to have at least some kind of cost of living package in the budget, because there's no doubt that this is still a big political issue. Sinn Féin are making hay with it at the moment, and there are a lot of households feeling squeezed. So I think the government, and particularly Donoghue and Chambers, want to concentrate on permanent measures this time, but I still think there is going to be some pressure to have one more year of temporary once-off so-called giveaways.
There was a report out from the Department of Finance during the week looking at the area of productivity, talking about, you know, people working fewer hours, but one of the barriers for women entering the workplace was childcare. I mean, if that's coming from the Department of Finance itself as a labour market issue, will there be pressure on to do something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these are the kind of permanent measures that it's probably better to focus on, because they give an ongoing help to families. And obviously there have been measures in the childcare area over the last few years, and more are promised. I think more can be expected this year. Likewise, there's no doubt that we're going to see the kind of ongoing increases in welfare payments and pensions that we've seen, you know, in recent years, and also something of a tax package. I think where the debate is going to be is, number one, over the size of some of those numbers. For example, how much is going to be done on income tax, and what's going to happen to the promised VAT VAT cut for hospitality, and number two on the on the spending side, then, you know, how big are the increases going to be in pensions and so on, and will we once again have some element of once-off payments to try and phase these payments out rather than getting rid of them, I suppose, in one fell swoop. I think that they are the things to watch as we come closer to the day itself.
Well, we're coming into a few hot days over the weekend, so nobody will be turning on the gas or oil heaters indeed as yet, and, you know, running electrical equipment around the house to stave off the winter dark. But when those things are turned on in, you know, late September, when the back to school bills start to land, those constituency clinics are really going to hear the cries for those one-off measures. Is there a possibility that the tightrope can be walked to make them targeted and sustainable, or will the drive be towards universal measures to keep everybody happy, yeah, and because they're quick to administer?
Yeah, I mean, you either do them to some extent, Colin, or you don't. Yes, of course you can target them at the less well-off sections and the people who really need it. And as I say, we are going to have permanent changes in that area. But temporary once-off payments can, of course, be targeted and were to a large extent over the last couple of budgets. For example, a few allowances, double welfare weeks, and so on. But I think, and that may happen again, but I think the question is whether we will see any of the universal once-off payments repeated, for example, the energy credits and the double child benefit weeks. So people got €250 in energy credits last year. There were two double child benefit weeks, which were worth a lot to families. So I think the question is whether the government is going to go into that territory or not. The indications so far have been that they're loath to do so and reluctant to do so and will try and avoid it. But as you say, as the political heat builds up, as the day itself approaches, I think it remains to be seen if the resolve holds completely in that area.
One way of removing the pressure on current expenditure is to move some of the spare money into capital expenditure, to simply say, yeah, look, we're investing it, it's not available. And that seems to be what Pascal Donoghue was saying in the Irish Independent this week, that, yeah, he was framing Budget 2026 as investment heavy but risk aware. What does that mean?
It means they're going to concentrate extra spending on investments. So we heard about all these big projects in the National Development Plan review there in recent weeks, or at least we heard about the big amounts of money that the government was going to allocate. And we're going to see, I think, before Budget Day or on Budget Day itself, a more full spelled out version of the projects that the government is going to target with that money. But the point I think he was making was, well, if you're going to put all that money into capital spending, you have to have better control on day-to-day spending. And I think that is going to be the message and going to be the thing that the government is going to try and do. And not an easy thing to do, because we know that as well as pressure for payments in welfare in areas like that, there is ongoing pressure to spend on social services in areas like health and education. So I think there's going to be a difficult balance for ministers to strike as the budget approaches between capital and investment spending, in other words, and day-to-day spending. The other thing, of course, that's still in the mix is the promise that money is going to be continued to be put aside into these funds for the future, so that
Have we lost? Oh no, Cliff. You were talking there just about the money being set aside in the funds. Sorry, there was a small bit of breakup on your line. Go again.
Sure. So I was just going to say that if that is one of the other directions of the budget, setting money aside, and the point being that if the public finances do hit a bit of a wobble over the next few years, as they may well do, depending on what Donald Trump does and how that all plays out, then there is cash there that can pay for investment spending in the years ahead. And we don't get back into a situation that we got back into after the financial crash, when state investment spending more or less stopped. We're still paying the price of that in areas like the housing market and electricity and water infrastructure.
But I suppose the more capital projects that are ongoing at the same time, the more the competition for labour that there is, the harder it is to achieve value. You might be contributing at that stage to construction inflation. So the value for money, the cost control aspect of those, it's not without its political risk either.
Yeah, no, it's a very difficult balance. And we've seen projects going over budget, and we've seen in areas like the Metro Link, for example, the likely size of the bill climbing and climbing and climbing. We still don't know the final figure. And there are a lot of warnings from the likes of the Fiscal Council and the Department of Finance itself and the central bank that the government has to be careful in this area. And being careful in this area means that if you're going to spend more on capital spending, if you're going to invest money into the economy in that way, then you should be doing a bit less in terms of day-to-day spending and a bit less in terms of tax reductions. But of course, that politically is a difficult message to sell, bread tomorrow rather than bread today.
Cliff, you mentioned there the tariffs and the impact of those. We still don't know the outcome of the pharma issue. So there is a deal of uncertainty there. Will there be efforts to look at the long, long term of the economy and maybe start planning for investments on for life after the kind of receipts we're getting from pharma and IT now?
Yeah, I mean, we are promised a medium-term financial strategy, and one of the notable facts in the recent documents from the Department of Finance, for example, the key pre-budget document that was published there last month, is that the forecasts don't go beyond next year, which is understandable given the uncertainties that we face. But nonetheless, I don't think those uncertainties are going to go away anytime soon. We do have the 15% trade deal, in inverted commas, but there are 2 points there that are worth making. First of all, we still haven't seen a written statement agreed by both sides on how that deal is going to be implemented. And number two, as you've said, the pharma issue is still a bit woolly. The EU feels that the US has committed to having tariffs of no more than 15% on pharma, but what Donald Trump has said seems to suggest otherwise. So I think uncertainty is going to roll on there, and the Department of Finance is just going to have to find a way of dealing with it and coming out with some kind of credible forecast for the next few years, because otherwise we're just planning from year to year, and it's not really a very good way to operate.
Okay, more on related issues on our Friday gathering, but for now, Cliff Taylor, Irish Times columnist, thanks very much for that. Now, coming up, the Beckhams, what's going on in the famous family?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.